AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. On night two of their national convention, the Democrats spent more time introducing the country to Kamala Harris. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is at the United Center in Chicago.
Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, making the case for his wife, telling the crowd she has the ability to fight for the country with passion and positivity. Then Michelle Obama took the stage, calling out former President Donald Trump for the attacks he made on her and her husband. Former President Barack Obama closing out the night, slamming former President Trump. Before energizing the crowd with a vision of Kamala Harris leading the fight for working Americans.
Running mate Tim Walz will speak tonight, and so will former President Bill Clinton. Former President Donald Trump campaigning in Michigan, talking about crime. He and running mate J.D. Vance will be in North Carolina today for a joint appearance. A judge in Texas ruling that the FTC does not have the power to ban non-competes, those contracts that prevent workers from switching jobs or launching competing businesses. This is ABC News. Some new help from the FBI for Americans hoping to dodge scammers.
Data from the FBI shows the first 5 months of this year, Americans lost $1.6 billion in scams, saying it's, quote, one of the most devastating violations the FBI works due to the number of victims and losses. Now, the agency's Criminal Cyber Response and Services Branch is rolling out the Take a Beat campaign to share information on signs of scams and how to report them. One of the most common tactics, officials said, is the false sense of urgency scammers will employ. The campaign telling people to resist the pressure to act quickly and assess. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
It's a tale of two countries when it comes to the weather. In the Northeast, it'll be almost fall-like, but head southwest and the oven goes into overdrive. Dangerous heat in the forecast where places like San Antonio and Abilene, Texas, as well as Roswell, New Mexico, could see record highs over 100 degrees. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris rallied a crowd of thousands at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum Tuesday night.
We are not going back. We will move forward. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward!
Her speech was streamed to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And earlier in the day, a visit from the Trump-Vance campaign, Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance, came to Kenosha.
We are going to end sanctuary cities in this country. We're going to bring back pro-law enforcement cities. We're going to support the death penalty for drug dealers because they kill far more people than some of the most violent and vicious criminals.
We're now 2.5 months away from the election, so no doubt we'll keep seeing lots of each campaign here in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prepare for the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' final week of training camp ends with a joint practice session against the Ravens this Thursday, and then their final preseason game Saturday at noon. Does the team need to bounce back after their struggles in Denver? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Knowing that that was a top defense in the league last year, you know, just really seeing how we match up and just executing well and, you know, just giving all the effort we got no matter what. So that's our mindset and goal.
In golf, the Wisconsin State Open continues today in Minocqua. Round two ending in a three-way tie. Max Lyons, Adam Miller, Sam Weatherhead atop the leaderboard. Baseball, the Brewers won their sixth in a row last night with a 3-2 win over the Cards in St. Louis. Frankie Montas allowing only one hit in seven innings, but the unsung hero was catcher William Contreras. Pat Murphy.
William, you got to give William a lot of credit. He had a great game tonight. Both sides of the ball, he was great. He really got Frankie going, too. I thought he called a great game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get into the upper 70s for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, close to 80 for a high. And we're going to keep going with highs climbing back into the upper 80s, maybe even near 90 by Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public service announcement at 11:33. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Chicago and the Democratic National Convention, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Hank Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, along with Greg Bach, of course, in Waukesha, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us, too. And it looks like we've got a little preview of what Brittany's going to tell us, coming from Rob, who says, good morning, friends from Tigerton. It's a sunny but chilly 46 degrees. Yesterday, busy mowing lawns in Wittenberg. It was a perfect weather day. Trees are changing color. Gulp. But then he says, enjoy the next few days because the hazy, hot, and humid is going to make a comeback. So I guess we don't need you, Brittany. See you later.
No,
thanks for
bye.
Being part of everything. No. How are you?
Wow.
I'm fantastic.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Well,
God,
no, was Rob telling us the truth here?
He was. He exactly is right.
Okay.
But I want to know, you're in Chicago. You're in my hometown. Have you had any good Chicago food while you've been down there?
I did say that there is a Fontenot's down the road here, and I had a slice of deep dish pizza as big as my head.
Ooh.
And I ate it all up. It was so good. I will say that this was one, you know, when they're selling by the slice, they've been sitting out for a little bit. So this wasn't like piping hot out of the oven, which is what I'd really like to try. Cause you know, I've had my own, you know, deep dish hot out of the oven, and you know how good it is like that.
I do.
So, but I also found there's a Paisano's about four blocks away. That might be today's breakfast.
Because love this.
Yeah, it's.
But have you been to a Chipotle in Chicago?
I did. I did take video of my first one, which was, of course, the Sbarro at Union Station in Chicago.
Yeah,
I can't even believe they allowed Sbarro to open there. But you know, that's we'll save that for another day. So, Brittany, tell us how we're going from. I mean, literally in the 40s right now in places, and yet we're heading back to the 90s.
We sure are. I mean, I am in long sleeves right now up north. It is that crisp out here this morning with the high pressure system controlling our weather right now. So that means clear skies, calm winds, crisp mornings, and some mild afternoons. Highs today all across the state climbing into the mid-70s. So very comfortable, below average. But like Rob said, we do have a massive heat wave headed our way. It's going to arrive on Saturday, and it's going to stick here until Monday. And I like to use the word stick because it's going to be sticky, gross, muggy, humid. All of that summer air is moving back in. And you know when that pushes back in, so do the rain chances for showers and thunderstorms. So we will start to see some rain pushing into northern Wisconsin by Friday afternoon and sliding south throughout the state for Saturday morning. Otherwise, a nice weekend, though.
Okay. I mean, look, it's still summer. We're going to get this. Yes. Do you want to play a little guessing game for a minute here?
Sure.
As I was looking at this morning's edition of the Up North News daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And Christina's got a story as we get set for high school football season in Wisconsin. What are some of the quirkiest mascot and team names around Wisconsin? Now, I mean, you're in the Wausau area. You're up north. So the first one's a gimme, the Hodag.
Oh, the Hodag, yeah.
That comes, classic
Hodag.
Comes to us from Rhinelander, of course. Yep. This one should be easy too. Who are the Ordockers?
Oh gosh.
The what?
Did we stump around Ordockers?
Ordockers?
Yeah. The Ordockers. Yeah, Ashland.
You're saying it like we know this. What?
Ashland, where all the ore docks were on Lake Superior for all those years, where they would load iron ore. These are very, very long docks.
I should know that.
People who worked there were ore dockers, so the school was an ore dockers. Okay, how about this one? Let's get closer.
What an intimidating mascot, I mean to tell you.
For real.
Well, here, we got this one. We've got the Castle Guards. That would be from Washburn, also up in Bayfield County, because Washburn is famous for its brownstones, which in some forms look castle-esque. So they have the team is the Castle Guards. There's the Galloping Ghosts. Dr. Lyerly would be all over this one. Do we know where the Galloping Ghosts are from?
No.
Kakana. Because when a reporter described the school football team back in the 1920s, he wrote, "The team looked like ghosts galloping on the field." And the name has stuck ever since.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
How about the Granite Diggers?
Granite Diggers.
That would be up in Mellon, where apparently the area is known for its black granite. You guys are killing it here.
That's right. I take such umbrage on that statement.
How about the Milwaukee Academy of Science? What would they be?
The Nerds.
Close, but no, not really. The Novas. And then finally, you got to get this one. Elkhart Lake. Elkhart Lake's Glenn Beulah High School mascot. It's named for all of the Chicagoans who summer in nearby Lake Geneva.
Is it something with a fib?
No. Brittany.
I'm sorry.
No. The Resorters.
Oh, my God. That was a really long walk to make fun of Chicagoans. That was just,
and it wasn't even the intent. But there it is. But we'll always have the deep dish pizza. We'll share that much together.
Yes.
Oh, Brittany, you are a good sport. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. More about the newsletter includes a link to my article about Tim Walls and what we learned about him and what it is that he brings to the ticket with Vice President Kamala Harris. So look for that. And then also, let's see, there's one more story. Oh, there's a story here about goat yoga. I'm sorry. Let me revise that. There's a story about yoga where animals might poop on you. There we go. Goat yoga. Learn more about that in today's edition of the Up North News Daily Newsletter. Now, if we're going to, I forgot to check in with Greg. Greg, hi. Goat yoga? Yes or no? You've done it? Haven't done it?
First of all, I heard you say goat Yoda. I'm like, what? Okay. I'm in.
I'm gonna goat yoga.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've done yoga. I've done hot yoga. I've done regular. I've done yoga Lattes. I like yoga a lot. I just don't get a chance to do it. But I've never done goat yoga. I probably never will because that just seems silly.
It does, doesn't it? But actually, I
wouldn't be surprised if it's something like really deep in the tradition of yoga based in like where it comes from in India and people are like, there's a spiritual value. And then some lady named Sharon's like, let's bring a goat.
Yes, that's really, forget all that whole first part. It was just, we got goats, they're cute. Let's let them climb on people.
No, thank you.
So, I'm going to take it. But a lot of people do. You see it in more places. And so you can read about it in the daily newsletter. Brewers were winners 3-2 over the St. Louis Cardinals. They now have an 11.5 game lead in the National League Central Division. Frankie Montas pitched 7 strong innings. They'll do it again this evening and then tomorrow afternoon. So getting back to our coverage of the Democratic convention, and I wanted to play a couple of clips here, one from former President Obama, and then by contrast, a couple of clips from former President Donald Trump. And as we mentioned in the last hour, there was a lot of work by Michelle Obama and Barack Obama on specifically the differences between a Biden-Harris and Harris-Walz administration versus what the Trump administration did and would do. And Barack Obama in this clip sums it up perfectly. It is the quintessential question that has to be asked in every political campaign. Who will fight for you? Who will serve you? Basically, who gives a damn about you?
The people who will decide this election are asking a very simple question. Who will fight for me? Who's thinking about my future, about my children's future, about our future together? One thing is for certain, Donald Trump is not losing sleep over that question.
Yeah, he does not and will not and continue to make that point. Here's more.
Who has not stopped whining about his problems since he rode down his golden escalator 9 years ago. It has been a constant stream of gripes and grievances that's actually been getting worse now that he's afraid of losing to Kamala. There's the childish nicknames, the crazy conspiracy theories, this weird obsession with crowd sizes.
What you weren't seeing there on the radio, but a clip that's played quite frequently, is Obama doing what's called the accordion hands, the thing that Donald Trump always does. You've seen that, Greg, where his hands are just always going back and forth as he's talking like this. As Obama talks about crowd size, he kind of looks down at his hands and sighs in a way that is only appealing to anybody that's watched Trump's fascination with all kinds of sizes, because he's a small man, and crowd size means a lot.
Yeah. Beans people love him, Pat.
Yeah. Well, contrast that with, you know, not only were the Obamas speaking at Chicago's United Center, which was filled up, but after they finished the roll call of the states, they switched live to Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, which was also filled up, greeting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. So filling two arenas with one ticket on one night at the same time could not have been the best thing for Donald Trump, who was speaking in Michigan yesterday. JD Vance was speaking in Kenosha. They both were playing the fear card about crime. And let's just say Trump's was low energy, to put it mildly. I mean, here's one example of his low energy remarks.
Crime-free America. We want a crime-free America. We're going to stop violent crime in the United States. And it's people like this that can do the job better than anybody. They do the job justly and fairly. But there's nobody like these people. Thank you.
That was not a very big crowd that he was speaking to either. And he went on way too long. People were checking their watches and everything. And the hyperbole. Here's an example of just, I mean, again, exaggerate much when you're trying to scare people about crime.
It's just insane. But you can't walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot. You get mugged. You get raped. You get whatever it may be. And you've seen it and I've seen it. And it's time for a change. We have to bring back our cities. We have these cities that are great cities where people are afraid to live in them.
No. I'm here. The cities are vibrant. The cities have made a wonderful comeback, but the cities also make convenient political targets for people like Trump and Vance. And having nothing positive to offer, you can see why the Democrats are filling two arenas in one night. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show.
count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
In honor of the anniversary of the birth of Kenny Rogers on this date, it is Wednesday, August 21st. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota. In entertainment news, I should have mentioned this earlier, Greg, when Melissa was, we were talking about spouses and, you know, coming for help when you need help. Well, no, you were the one saying Bridget came to your assistance. Okay. Yeah. On the other side of that, on the flip side, Jennifer Lopez filed for a divorce yesterday from Ben Affleck on their second wedding anniversary. Ouch.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm not going to lie. I really wanted that to work out.
I wanted those crazy kids to make it, you know. It was their second go round. There'd been that 20, we were on a break for 20 years. Yeah. You're thinking, okay, this will be good. No, it was not. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Unfortunately, but hopefully they will both find happiness after the fact. And, you know, and I mean that sincerely, because that's just that's a sucky thing. And especially have to do it under the microscope of us.
Well, that, again, the only reason I know about this is when I stumble upon TMZ now and then, and it's like, it's all this, that is their breaking news. You know, that is their breathless coverage. Yeah. Other headlines, a federal judge has blocked the Federal Trade Commission's ban on non-compete clauses that was proposed by the Biden administration. Oh, wait, let me fix that headline for you. A Trump-appointed federal judge has blocked the Biden administration's effort to get rid of non-compete clauses in American employment. So we'll look to see whether there is an appeal forthcoming on that. Getting back to the convention speeches, and in just about 15 minutes or so, we're going to hear from three women in the Wisconsin delegation about, you know, the things that they want to hear for their friends and neighbors and voters up north. But getting back to the remarks from last night, I think Barack Obama had one of the best lines, because Michelle Obama had just given this barn burner of a speech, and I'll play a clip from that in a moment, but I didn't want to lose track of Barack Obama welcoming the crowd to Chicago, but noting maybe the speaking order should have gone the other way around.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Chicago, it's good to be home. It is good to be home, and I don't know about you, but I'm feeling fired up. I am feeling ready to go. Even if I am the only person stupid enough to speak after Michelle Obama.
He recognizes the way the act should go if he were the one drawing up the card. Because Michelle Obama, getting to her remarks here, again, there was a lot of talk about bringing hope back, hope making a comeback, people wanting to feel positive again about the people that they support. But you can't do that without also making the case against your opponent. And despite the the notion that Michelle Obama was always about, you know, when they go low, we go high. Now, it certainly high is aspirational. But when somebody's taking shots at you, you know, sometimes turning the other cheek is not the thing that you want to do in politics. And this is clearly, at this point, the soundbite of the convention. It is Michelle Obama talking about what Kamala Harris's values are versus Donald Trump's.
Grace of failing forward. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. No. We put our heads down. We get to work. In America, we do something.
So there you had Michelle Obama again, letting people know where they should really position Donald Trump when it comes to not just his values, but the things that have favored him in life, the many favors, essentially, that have been done for him through various reasons. Again, family wealth, skin color, status, all kinds of privilege that other people have to work a lot harder just to catch up with. And yet, those efforts are being, you know, derided as DEI and things like that. So it was a very forceful indictment of Trump and a defense of the path that Kamala Harris has taken to get to where they are. And where they are is a convention that defied convention last night when it came to the roll call of the states. It was clear from the beginning in the presence of DJ Cassidy, his name was, spinning tunes and a different tune for each state, that this was not going to be, you know, your father's Democratic convention. And it really became apparent when they got to Georgia and the lights went down and a spotlight came up and an Atlanta native named Little John came out to introduce Georgia's vote total. And he would eventually work his way down the stairs of the arena to the Georgia delegation where the vote total would be announced. And Greg, I don't know where we go from here. We can't go back to just the very dry recitation of votes. We're going to have to, there's going to be themes. There's going to be more music. And I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too. Okay. But when you have Little John, like, coming out there live doing that song, that's where I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. Jump around. Mm-hmm. We couldn't find something like I'm looking at you. All 2028, right. Up your game.
Okay. DJ Greg is going to be there. Oh, wait, you have a D. What was your DJ name? I thought you had one.
No, DJ Gregory Bach.
DJ Gregory Bach. Maybe I was thinking of your nickname for Brittany. I don't recall here.
Oh, DJ Flipmix. That's DJ Flipmix. Yes.
There we go. I'm sorry. That's a little bit mixed up. I don't know that they've awarded the 2028 conventions yet, but yeah, you guys are on notice. It's going to have to be a little different. Let's not go overboard. We don't need Tom Cruise, you know, jumping down off of the roof of something.
Nah.
But, you know, if we're going to have this process, and we will, because this is, you know, states come together, they hold their primaries and everything, then let's acknowledge that this is for TV. This is not the men in straw hats, you know, in smoke-filled rooms. This is in part a show, And if you make it watchable with great speakers as well as music, folks are going to tune in the radio.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is apple picking season across the state of Wisconsin. Time to head out to our local orchards. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Wednesday. When you arrive, you'll find plenty of apples, but you might also find a little something odd about those apples. What is it? Details on the way.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Amaya Otucci is our University Extension fruit specialist, and she said some apples in Wisconsin this year, because of the heat, picked up a little sunburn.
Basically, you know, sunburn in apples happens when the fruit is exposed to intense sunlight, especially when there's like really high temperatures and low humidity. So that results in this external damage to the fruit. You see this kind of like, you know, like basically like a sunburn. You see this like dark area in the fruit. And you can also see a little bit of damage right underneath the skin to the pulp of the fruit as well.
Amaya Otucci, University Extension fruit specialist, she said sunburn on apples in Wisconsin is actually a pretty big deal. Obviously, the apples get downgraded, consumers don't necessarily want them, and that leads to economic losses.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And the wet weather we had this spring, coupled with lower commodity prices, have increased the call volume at the Wisconsin Farm Center. Karen Endres, who coordinates the Farmer Wellness Program, says she's issued 87% more vouchers this year than she did last. She said that's good news. It obviously means that farms are aware of their services. She says it's also an important number because it's up 104% as far as usage. She said that's also good news because it means the vouchers she's issuing are actually being used. Remember, the Farmer Wellness Program is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is 888-901-2558. 888-901-2558. And that's food news on a Wednesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get into the upper 70s for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear into the low 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, close to 80 for a high. And we're going to keep going with highs climbing back into the upper 80s, maybe even near 90 by Saturday and Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
The Next Nightlight is only available to stream on Facebook, X, and YouTube. But that won't stop us. Comedian and TV host Mike Toomey joins the show and Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Off the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack, which was the number one album in the country this day 32 years ago. All right, the Wisconsin delegation, like all the state delegations, they start their day with a big delegation breakfast. And if you're in one of the swing states, you get all kinds of special guests that come through and speak. Yesterday, there was Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, Michael Bennett, Senator from Colorado, and others who came through who may be testing the waters for something, you know, 4 or 8 years down the line, or just improving their public profile, maybe for, you know, something in a Harris administration cabinet post someday. Anyway, we talked to several folks in the delegation yesterday, including Melissa Schrader, longtime chair of the Lincoln County Democratic Party, former state senator Janet Bewley from up in Bayfield, and Mary Hayes, who chairs the Shawamigan Democratic Party, which is a combo party of instead of an Ashland and a Bayfield County Democratic Party, Ashland and Bayfield combined to the Shawamigan Democrats, and Mary Hayes is the chair there. So I talked about what voters and families want up north in November. We talked to Melissa and Janet about the impact of new maps to undo a badly gerrymandered district up there. And with Mary, we take a closer look at that proposal by Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany to turn the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore into a national park. Sounds like an upgrade, but it's not. Let's start with Melissa talking about everybody's gathering in Chicago this week.
It is fantastic. Every day seems to get better. I was surprised, but not surprised, to see Andy Beshear and Mark Kelly. There's just so many that are coming through Wisconsin, which is why we are the battleground state. They need to be here, and they know it.
And what do you think a Harris-Walz administration would mean for the economy of northern Wisconsin, for jobs and housing and healthcare, things like that?
Well, farm issues come first and foremost, and the fact that they're also looking at a clean environment, teachers, education, you know, having Tim Walz on the ticket is absolutely fabulous, because northern Wisconsin is not like southern Wisconsin, in so much that there are so many small schools closing because of lack of funding. They're losing those funding sources to voucher and charter schools, and there are a lot of schools that are closing down or consolidating or losing programs. Kids aren't able to have as many different opportunities to the arts because of the cuts.
Have the new maps, I mean, we know that rural Wisconsin's been a tough territory for a little while, but has it changed some of the conversation about how some of the legislative races may go?
Yes. Not so much in my area, because I'm on the eastern side of Wisconsin. You know, my districts didn't change that much. However, up in the northwestern part of this, is it used to be a blue area, and we could count on that. But when the maps were redrawn, they weren't blue, and they went red. And now we have a chance of regaining at least 3, maybe 4 seats in the assembly because of that those changes. And that's fantastic. That helps Governor Evers. It helps all of us.
And now I'm joined by former State Senator Janet Bewley. Janet, how are you?
I'm great. What a wonderful place to see you, Pat.
You know, when we talk about what's different this year, along with the enthusiasm and the change in the ticket, you have to talk about new maps. And you can't talk about new maps without talking about the way that things have been, shall we say, maybe made right in the northwest corner of Wisconsin. Can you explain to people what Republicans did with the maps and what the new maps, how the new maps are different?
This is a district that is all of the northern, most of the northern shore of Lake Superior. So it's Ashland, Bayfield, and Douglas, which includes Superior. So it's a great seat. The Senate district, I think, is still winnable. I've never won by more than 2 points, so I think when the right person comes along, we're going to be able to defeat Romaine Quint.
But what a difference it was for that area, Ashland, Bayfield, around Superior, to be so heavily Democratic, but for quite a time have no Democratic representation because of the way they moved the districts, moved the lines downward to capture more red territory. I don't know that any other map in the state says political mischief more than that one did.
Well, and that's very true. And it was an extremely frustrating thing for candidates. If you just look at my Senate district, within that there would have been three assembly seats. Right now, there is a seat that is actually Democrat. We have not had that. Long as I have been involved in politics. So we are able to get a candidate who is going to win that seat and be able to have the voice to represent a stronger liberal platform. And it'll make a huge difference. You know, we are able to recruit people to run for office, and they are told, you know, you've got to look at this as the long game. But to consistently recruit people for a seat that they have to fight tooth and nail, and then they lose by just a couple of points, that is really, really hard to keep doing. But now that's all different. We've got new maps, and the woman, Angela Stroud, is running for that district, and she's going to win.
There can be such a difference with these new maps, with the type of legislators involved. It still sounds like a very tall order, but in terms of Medicaid expansion, how much better do you like the odds that Wisconsin would no longer be one of now, what, 9 or 10 states that has yet to expand Medicaid, depending on the results this November?
Well, one of the things that's happening now, you can take an issue like Medicaid expansion and you can say it again. And when you're saying it in this environment of educating voters and having them really understand the issues, I think people are going to realize what Wisconsin has gone without for so long. The ability to expand what Medicaid can do for people, along with the messages that Kamala Harris is going to have, I think is going to make a big difference, and people are going to demand that we accept the Medicaid expansion.
Last one has to do with natural resources up north. We've talked about mining. We've talked about PFAS contamination. We have a Republican-led legislature that has been holding PFAS money for over a year now. What are your hopes that whatever the composition of the next legislature, they can do or stop doing when it comes to protecting natural resources up north?
Well, again, up north there is a very strong ethic to protect natural resources. But when you come along and have strong Republicans beat the other drum on being able to make it easier for businesses, being able to open new factories or mines without the protections of strong laws, you pit person against person. You commit, we've got strong unions who want the jobs, but they also want to be able to stand up for the environment. It's a very subtle and a very important argument to make that the environmental and the union and creating jobs can coexist. And I think, again, the more we repeat it, the more people are going to see it in action.
Former State Senator Janet Buley, thank you for joining us on Up North News. All right, now I'm visiting with
Mary Hayes. I'm chair of the Schwamigan Democratic Party, which represents Ashland and Bayfield counties. I'm also honored to be a delegate here at the convention.
You know, we were chatting during the Wisconsin delegation breakfast here about one of the issues that frankly hasn't gotten enough attention because of everything else that's been going on these days, and it deals with the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore and a proposal by Congressman Tom Tiffany to consider, what, turning it into a national park?
That's correct.
Which I think to a lot of people sounds intriguing. It also sounds counterintuitive to Tom Tiffany, and it always felt like there was more to the story. What is it that people who don't live up in Ashland Bayfield counties need to know about this idea?
Well, what people need to know is there's a distinct difference between a national lakeshore and a national park. A national park allows certain levels of development. And you'll note in Representative Tiffany's work that Sandy Island in the Apostle Islands is left out of the national park, which would allow it to be developed for condominiums. It could be mined if we found some kind of minerals there. And honestly, you know, Mr. Tiffany has always been a proponent of opening up public lands. He's kind of in the hip pocket of developers. And this whole process was done in a way that lacked a lot of transparency. And it certainly did not involve the people of Bayfield County, the city of Bayfield, which that's the entree point to the Apostle Islands. So there's many, many issues involved here that Mr. Tiffany has not addressed.
So what is the current status of it? And are we at the point where people can take some kind of action to weigh in on it yet?
Yes, I think people can weigh in, particularly in Bayfield County. The Bayfield County Board of Supervisors is developing a resolution right now, and they're looking for citizens to have input on it around this whole idea. And frankly, from what I've read, they are against this proposal for many reasons. There's no funding, additional funding for the National Park Service to be able to do this. There's been no transparency. There are sovereign tribal rights involved in the Apostle Islands, let alone the fact that it is land that is sacred to our Red Cliff and Bad River neighbors. And there has been really no discussion economically about how the small towns of Washburn, Bayfield, Red Cliff, and others would even handle the extra traffic, transportation, let alone affordable housing for people who would have to, you know, start to live in our area since we have such a lack of it now. So there's lots of discussion.
So let's talk about what elected officials could be doing rather than proposing that. And let's say rather than the status quo, what is it that folks up there would like to see either a member of Congress doing or members of the legislature doing that would enhance the resources and the economy of that part of the North?
Well, I think the North is much like a lot of the rural parts of Wisconsin. Affordable housing is a big deal. And we're particularly challenged because since the pandemic, a lot of people with cash have come in and purchased what would have been a first-time home buyer's home. And now they're renting them out as Airbnbs. And so it has continued to deplete the resource for locals. So already, you know, Senator Baldwin provided through some of her legislation over $1 million for a new affordable housing development in Ashland on the east side of the city. So more of those kinds of things are needed. I know that our Bayfield County Board of Supervisors is doing a full review of their planning and zoning rules to see what they can do to make them less cumbersome and costly for developers, but then also still guide developers in a way that is sustainable and is something that, you know, folks that live in the region would agree, yeah, this is a good thing.
So what did it mean to have a presidential candidate in Kamala Harris say last week that she would make it a priority to drastically increase the amount of affordable housing stock around the country, which is surely not just a city suburban thing, but all parts of the country?
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I really, I'm really hopeful about this. This is, you know, this is a woman who cares and understands the depth of the issues in rural America, which is what I represent. Affordable housing, affordable health care, child care. Child care is a big issue for us in the North, and public education. School vouchers don't help rural America. because we use public schools, and rightfully so. That's where our children go to school. So to know that she wants to increase funding to public schools, all of those things put together is what raises up our middle class and makes our small towns and communities that much more viable for the future.
So there you go, Mary Hayes taking us out and talking about that proposal with input from Tony on YouTube telling us that the Shawamigan Dems are awesome.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
So important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy.
And that's what the Todd Father does for us. Todd Alba joining us now. One more from the Sleepless in Seattle soundtrack. Top, yeah.
Well, Jimmy Durante, you can't go wrong with that. I'm high atop not the world headquarters in Madison, but I'm high atop Chicago here. I thought I would give you a beautiful skyline view. Here, let me do this for those watching the stream. Maybe if I just put my phone up like this.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's
now.
Oh, look, I can see myself. I'm in that hotel right over there, right there. Yes.
Right.
Look, I'm waving out the window right now. I'm hoping you can see that. Right.
But Chicago is one of those skylines. It's pretty iconic, and it's a lovely city.
Yes, it is. Yes. And thanks to Tony, I was saying before I lost track of the clock here that he felt like that last segment was made specifically for him. And it was to a degree that we wanted more up north representation from the Wisconsin delegation. But I also think, Todd, it was good to bring up because we really hadn't gotten into the subject of what Congressman Tiffany was proposing. And you knew that if Tom Tiffany is proposing something that would turn something into a national park that had been a national lakeshore, there's got to be something more to it than that. And so for people who are like, oh, what a nice gesture. Yes, we deserve a national park. Like, no, look at who's proposing it. And I'm glad that Mary Hayes there was able to talk about the potential for more development and disruptions that would occur up there. It's always about, we said this last week, Todd, about taxing tips. Both candidates talk about getting rid of the tax on tips. The details are really important in these things.
They really are. And I was hopeful. I thought, well, you know, this is a lovely bipartisan idea. And here's something we can get behind, you know, as in a bipartisan spirit, but you know, thanks to you and the great reporting there, you dig down and find out that not so much. And that's you know it much better than I. I mean, I've had an opportunity to be up there on the Apostle Islands and the Redcliffe Band up there. It's a beautiful place. To your guest point, it's also a sacred place. And this is a fight that, you know, I know somewhat well, not on that exact topic, but when I was working for former State Senator Dale Schultz and the Republicans and Scott Walker gutted the mining laws up there to bring it all in, thousands of jobs, quote unquote, to northern Wisconsin, and had an opportunity to speak with a lot of the tribal leaders up there. The rice fields in that part of the state, just below Copper Falls mines in that area, there literally would be akin to the Vatican for people of the Roman Catholic faith. They hold very sacred and spiritual areas and ground, let alone the natural resources and the clean water that all of us enjoy up there. So, it's an area that should be protected under the auspices of someone like, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and true national protection. But to open it up for some sort of wacky development, just a sad and dangerous thing.
Yeah. What's your experience been like the first couple of days? I mean, it's just been go, go, go over here. So I've not been able to do my usual, you know, dipping in and listening in on shows and doing all the other things that we normally do with a routine. How's it been at your end?
Lots of biking. That's all I can tell you, Pat. That's
how wow. I'm getting through the week. Okay.
Bikes and coffee, okay. Baby. Under doctor prescribed orders. It's been fine. The convention itself proper. Energy, I would say, compared to the Republican convention, because there was a lot of energy at the RNC. I was there. Obviously, the energy here is just off the charts. So watch the speeches last night, not there, but in my hotel room of the Obamas. Just absolutely amazing. I did not get in the Pfizer at the RNC, but I'm told the venue here at the United Center, the bowl proper where the delegates with all the speeches are, is slightly more cozy. And I think that's just increasing the energy, quite frankly.
Sure.
I also think our mutual friend Kristen Bry tweeted something out saying, after 2 days here in Chicago, I can tell you this, Milwaukee will be hosting a lot more conventions. And she's absolutely right, because they've spread this out in Milwaukee. Everything was centralized around Pfizer and Panther and the Hyatt Regency.
Yes.
Here, delegates and meetings are down at McCormick. There's also things here. It's just so spread out. And access. I mean, I waited like a half an hour to get out last night.
Yeah.
So the coordination is, I would say the RNC certainly beat the coordination just from a strategic level.
I would offer this, though, and I get the part about wanting central location and have as many venues in one area as possible. That is very important. But I would say this note about the cozy part. I think that was probably the exception to the rule, because we know that, you know, the amount of business that downtown Milwaukee got was ooh, far below expectations, in part because that convention was unique in that it was, I don't even know if coronation is the right word for it. You just did not have, again, that level of attendance and mm-hmm. energy and impact, because it was just like, it was only for the real true Trump believers, and a whole lot of other people mm. who might normally be at a convention stay at home. So you had the ability to spread the seats out a little more, shall we say, for that particular convention.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I went to, I think it's Paisano's, one of the local pizza places here. They said their business was down. We went to another, Trigby and I went to another one. Their business has been down here in Chicago as well. So I don't know. I think this, it is a huge inconvenience for almost any city that hosts one of these things. Mm-hmm. But the important point, though, I think that more importantly, and Trigby Olson, who's on our show, who you know well, he'll be on today as well here from the Lincoln Project. He's been to a lot of Republican conventions. This is the first Democratic one he's been to. He said this, as compared to the RNC in Milwaukee, he said this convention in Chicago looks much more representative of America. It looks much more not just visually, yeah, but the fact that it's not a monolith. The people are here to disagree with one another a little bit, to push one another, to have a broad swath of ideas, but ultimately rally. I thought one of the great lines last night is when Michelle Obama said, we have to be careful, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, as Democrats, we cannot Goldilocks this. Everything doesn't have to be just right. And I thought that was a great message, and I hope the Democrats are listening to that.
Oh, I hope so as well, because that is one of the Democratic Party's greatest sins, is too much of their membership allows perfect to be the enemy of the very good. And that if they can't get everything they want, well, then they just vote present and right, then they go away. And this is not that kind of a situation where anybody can go away for all the good feelings, for all the energy. Mm-hmm. This is still a close race. Still boggles the mind that it would be, but it is. And so there's still a lot that needs to be done outside of this all this whole feel good thing when it's all over.
Todd, how about that roll call last night? Jump around. Love that. Well,
Greg has some notes on improving it, so we're going to send those notes to DNC for 2028. But I loved the variety. I wish I'd have known. I would have tuned in earlier. But anyway, it was fun. Todd, thank you so much.
Are we going to see you in person, or are we joining each other from StreamYard at noon across the way?
We'll see. We'll see. it's been a day. It's already been a day.
More talk bikes. To you later. Here we go.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we continue our coverage live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Trigvi Olsen, the Lincoln Project, is here, along with Bill McCutcheon. We'll break it on down for you. Join us.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.